Ladies and gentlemen, almost live from Berlin, it's time for Into Germany. Let's have a warm round of applause for your host, Kelly O'Brien.
Thanks. Thank you so much. You're too kind. And welcome to Into Germany, the German business podcast brought to you by Germany Trade and Invest, GTAI, the German government's international business promotion agency. On today's edition of Into Germany, we're going to play a game called Net Zero. The object, get your society to completely eliminate carbon emissions. To reach that goal and win the game, we need as much energy as we can produce from regenerative sources as soon as we can produce it. The catch is, we also need to maintain our way of life, so energy cannot become prohibitively expensive. Not so long ago, solar power stalled in Germany because the costs were perceived as simply too high. But could that be changing? Could solar power pay off after all?
Well, we're marking the seventh year of double-digit growth. So we need to be building then 12, 16, 20 to 22 gigs per year. So Germany is an extremely interesting market right now. We have to grow 30% year on year and continue to do so in order to meet the goals. It's a future technology and we have all, you know, the R&D and the engineers to build these things and build factories.
This is what David Wederpohl from the German Solar Association says. We'll hear his insights later. First, though, let's talk to Chris Case of Oxford PV from Oxford in the UK. They're a pioneer in solar and have opened a site in Brandenburg near Berlin. It houses the world's first volume manufacturing line for so-called tandem solar cells. Production will commence at the end of 2023. So, hello, Chris. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and Oxford PV, please?
My name's Christopher Case, and I'm the chief technology officer at the company named Oxford PV. So Oxford PV is a renewable energy company, and we've been developing a sort of a new type of solar cell that incorporates a material known as perovskite. Now, solar cells are that component that go into the solar modules, and these are the things that appear on the rooftops of homes and buildings and out in the fields, and they convert sunlight into electricity. And for more than or close to 70 years since their first commercial deployment back in 1954, majority of them made a material called silicon. And silicon is actually like the second most abundant material or element in the Earth's crust. But our solar cell is actually unique that we make. And although it does use silicon, it has something known as a tandem configuration, which layers this new material on top of the silicon. And the result of that is we can convert more of the sun's energy into electricity. Somewhere between 20 and 50% more can actually be converted into electricity. And of course, you know, as the chief technology officer, I'm responsible for directing the future and development of our product and ultimately its commercialization.
When did the company start?
The company is more than 10 years old. But we began producing or developing this product roughly 10 years ago. So it's taken that long, which seems like a lot of time, but actually is quite short in the development of a new technology. You know, new technologies often take decades before they end up in commercial scale. But back in 2015, and the company was quite a bit smaller in 2015, I mean, not much more than a dozen or two dozen people.
What are the advantages of tandem technology? Please explain.
Well, I mean, silicon is the material that, of course, is the mainstay of the electronics industry for semiconductors. And the material that we're working with, perovskite, is another semiconductor, just not so popular or well known. The easiest way to envision it is if you can imagine those solar cells, which are about, you know, 18 centimeters on a side. They're the kind of square things that you can almost discern when you look at the solar modules. We use that as one of the solar cells, and we put another solar cell made of this perovskite material on top of it. So effectively, we're stacking two solar cells in series, and each of the solar cells is tuned to a different part of the solar spectrum, so it can absorb more of the sun's energy. And together, they're much more effective at converting sunlight into electrons.
So will this make solar cells more attractive and efficient for countries like Germany? I mean, it's not like the sun shines on Central Europe every day.
Yeah, you know, I hear this comment all the time. And of course, you hear it, especially in countries that have a particular sort of darker climate or, you know, the weather is not so cooperative. But in reality, there is enough sunlight in almost every country that's inhabited to effectively convert sun into electricity. Sure, there's more in places like Spain and along the equator, but there's sufficient sunlight in even places like the UK and Germany to be effective. And today, electricity generated from photovoltaics, which is PV, which is, of course, what we're talking about from solar cells, actually is cheaper than any other form of electricity almost everywhere in the world. I mean, maybe not the North Pole and the South Pole, but in every inhabited part of the world, there's enough sunlight to effectively convert and produce electricity that's cheaper than coal-fired electricity, natural gas, even cheaper than things like wind. So it is the best form of renewable energy to address our challenge, which in principle is decarbonization. But one of the interesting things that's happened in the last year is the story around sort of sustainability has moved from decarbonization and addressing the climate crisis to energy security and having a resilient economy for the supply of energy.
What made you choose Germany as the location for your development factory?
We started in the UK. We're a spin-out from a university, the University of Oxford in the United Kingdom. So the company started there. But to effectively demonstrate our technology, we recognized we needed to do it in a much larger scale. So sort of at the factory type scale. So we went on a journey to find a new location. And here's a tip, which may be a future question of yours. You know, if you're a small company seeking to expand, is you don't want to spend your money on what's called bricks and mortar, right? So you don't want to build something brand new. So we looked for an existing facility or building that could be adapted to our purposes. And we actually went around the world. I think we, in the end, investigated more than 100 sites, predominantly in the US, in the UK, and within Europe. So although there was a little bit of exploration in Asia, those were the predominant locations. There were some concerns in the U.S. about, well, that's a big time zone gap to span potentially to the West Coast, 8 or 9 hours. So we kind of focused more on the East Coast of the United States. But of course, we looked in our home, that's the United Kingdom, and we looked in Europe, and that would sort of be the easiest thing. I don't know if you've ever, you know, gone out to buy a flat or a home. You know, the real estate agents and the brokers or the estate agents will often use this phrase, location, location, location. And they're right for a pure purchase of a home. But location is only one of the components of the factors that we were considering. And it's an important one. You have to have a location that you can have access to from a transport situation. But equally, in fact, even more importantly, was access to the workforce, a skilled workforce, an engineering workforce in our case, to support our development and our production aspirations. So that was one of the critical factors. And when we were seeking and locating things, you know, one of the attractiveness of the factors and attractions to Germany was in absolute assurance that we had access to a skilled engineering workforce. And in the end, it was sort of the tipping point towards one of the decision making.
And why Brandenburg?
So we did locate a number of sites that were appropriate, but in the particular site that we found in Brandenburg, on the Havel, so just to west or just southwest of Berlin, about, I think, 100 kilometers or so, we found the ideal combination of an existing site that we could acquire with buildings and land that actually had equipment already in place that had been previously used for solar manufacturing a workforce that was trained, and of course, access in general to the engineering workforce and expertise of Germany, you know, which is world renowned for its engineering and manufacturing competency. And to top that, we were able to locate incentives in the form of subsidies from both the federal government and the local state government to sort of cinch the deal. And I think in the end, the combination has been ideal for us. And we have not been disappointed in any way with our decision to locate our first development demonstration site in factory in Germany.
What did the German government need to offer for you to sign on the dotted line?
We're an entirely investor-funded company. And currently, we actually have no revenue. We have not really sold any product yet. We're beginning our manufacturing right now. So as an investor-funded company, everything and every piece of money we raise has to go into the activity that we seek. So in all the sites, of course, you can seek to raise funds from investors. So that's part of what we do. You can borrow money from banks. So we actually reached out to something called the EIB, or European Investment Bank. But then we also reach out both to the federal government in Germany and to the state government to access subsidies for both innovation and for manufacturing. And a lot of the subsidies in the states and Germany are tagged to the individual regions. So the regions for which there is more, let's say, need to redevelop, like the old cold regions in Germany, the subsidies that are available are even greater, so as much as 30%. In the particular region where we're located in Brandenburg, it's 20%, but that is still a substantial contribution to the capital expenditure that we needed to build out our factory. And so the process was actually rather straightforward, and we received that. We were unable to locate comparable funding, for example, in the UK. Which, surprising or not surprising, you can make your own judgments about that. But since the company was a UK-based company and a spin-out from the UK, it was a bit disappointing, I'd have to say, to find that in the end, there was more access to subsidies elsewhere.
Thanks to hefty subsidies, Germany had a booming solar industry until around 2000. But then production in Europe was overtaken by that in China. What can we do better this time round?
Germany did something sort of on its own and unique, which was this concept of feed-in tariffs to subsidize the installation and encourage the installation of solar in Germany by actually paying people really more than the market rate for electricity generated from their own solar systems. And that spurred the German industry basically to develop both the equipment and manufacturing for solar and solar modules in the 2000 timeframe. And I have to say, that was probably the single event that spurred the next renaissance in, you know, the expansion of solar. And unfortunately, it did not last forever because of, you know, challenges that came through from mostly China, basically competing and sort of taking advantage of technology and capability that was developed in Germany to create, you know, competency in China. And today, you know, China supplies 85% of the world's solar modules to everyone, you know, including Germany. And that entire industry focused around the development of equipment and solar technology sort of became set aside and idle. But I have to say, the engineers were still there. I mean, they moved on to other jobs, often in the semiconductor industry or other allied fields, but the expertise in some of the companies remained. And we were well aware of that. And it was one of the reasons that we were particularly attracted to Germany, because we knew we could access that talent. And I have to say, that has been one of the most successful things in the selection of Germany, was not only to access engineering talent and manufacturing talent generically, but even talent that came out of what was the German solar industry, you know, in the 2000s.
Germany and Europe as a whole have set themselves the goal of becoming more independent in terms of energy. Are we on track?
There is a lot of money flow that's coming out of Europe, right, in discussions. And in particular, a reaction to something called the IRA, or Inflation Reduction Act, out of the U.S., where, you know, more than $1 billion is being made available relatively easily to companies that are willing to invest in sustainable technologies in the U.S. We've seen sort of the mirror image of those kinds of programs coming through from both Europe and now in Germany. And we'll be seeking access to those kinds of funds to build potentially new factories in Germany, too.
Well, thank you, Chris. In a moment, we'll ask David Wederpohl from the German Solar Association for his assessment of the new solar boom. Will it be a winner? Or another disappointment? But first, if you want to come out on top, it's not enough to generate lots of electricity. You also have to have somewhere to put it. That's where we start this edition's roundup of some of the best business stories from Germany. Big Battery. EcoStore, a German subsidiary of Norwegian utility company A Energy, has announced plans to construct a record-sized electricity storage battery facility in the eastern German town of Förderstedt. It will have a capacity of 600 megawatt hours. The company plans to invest around 250 million euros in the project, which will be completed in 2025. What the doctor ordered. There are plenty of good feelings in German pharmaceuticals right now. That's the conclusion of a study carried out by the Association of German Chambers of Industry and Commerce. 38% of pharma companies plan to invest more in the next 12 months, compared with only 25% at the start of 2023. The mood is likewise positive in the medtech sector. AI on a high. The number of new startups founded in Germany is back on the rise. The bounce back is being driven by artificial intelligence companies. According to the industry initiative Applied AI, the number of new startups in this area has risen 67% year on year. Berlin is the most common location for fledgling companies, followed by Hamburg. Silicon Saxony. Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturer TSMC plans to construct a massive new production facility in the eastern German city of Dresden. The volume of the new plant for 300mm semiconductors will be at least 10 billion euros. The German government and the EU will reportedly offer major financial support for the project pending EU approval. Dresden is located at the heart of the electronics hub, often known as Silicon Saxony. And finally, halfway there. In the first half of 2023, renewably generated electricity met some 52% of Germany's domestic needs. That's the conclusion of preliminary calculations made by the Center for Solar Energy and Hydrogen Research Baden-Württemberg and the Energy Industry Association BDEW. Thanks to sunny weather in May, the percentage of renewables in the electricity mix reached 57% that month. So a completely renewable future for Germany is visible on the horizon, but it's not right around the corner. How can Germany improve its odds of winning the game of net zero? David Wederpohl from the German Solar Association can give us some answers. Hi, David. Can you say a few words about yourself?
Of course. I'm David Wederpohl. I'm the International Managing Director of the German Solar Association, and I have seen some of the ups and downs of the industry already, although I'm by no means an old-timer. I've been in the industry since 2009.
At the moment, the future looks bright for the sector in the short term, if not necessarily for the climate in the long term. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, we're marking the seventh year of double-digit growth, and we are a bit doomed to success at the moment, because if we want to do our part in meeting the 1.5 degree goal, we really need to build massively. And to do that in Germany, given its geography, we can no longer stay on the roofs where most of the systems are.
Two out of three PV systems are rooftop units. where else should we be putting them?
We're a densely populated country, and normally land is already in some sort of use. So we're going to see a lot of dual use of land. We're going to see agri-PV. We're going to see floating PV. We're going to see PV cover, you know, carports, parking lots, and so on. And of course, we're very strong in the building sector. The residential sector, we never thought possible, you know, has quadrupled. So it's really a big thing in Germany. We're going to see more solar on multifamily homes, and we are seeing already what used to be our strongest sector, commercial on roof, because with Germany, we still make things, you know, factories, logistics centers, office buildings. They are going to come back and be put to use to generate energy.
The German government is putting its full weight behind the solar industry.
We've just celebrated 3 million systems in Germany. We built 7.4 gigawatts, but we've already done more than that in 2011. So we have quite a bit of experience with building a lot of solar. Basically, this year we have built 1 gigawatt a month so far, 2023. So we're optimistic we're going to have a more than 10 gigawatt market. But all of that is not enough. If we are to achieve 215 gigawatts, which is not the dream of the Solar Association, but it's the actual government target. And it's actually the first time that we lobbied for a government target for 2030, which was 200 gigawatts. And the government said, thank you for the suggestion. We would like 215, please. So to do the math, we need to be building then 12, 16, 20 to 22 gigs per year. So Germany is an extremely interesting market right now, doomed to success. We have to grow 30% year on year and continue to do so in order to meet the goals.
Is there a realistic chance of achieving these goals?
That is possible. But it is, of course, very challenging. Well, what we are already seeing is market react. So money is pouring in, people are making investments. The government is thinking about plugging the value chain and bringing some of the manufacturing back that we have lost. Manufacturing was never gone. Everybody always thinks of modules. We still have module factories, but of course, there still are inverters, mounting systems, cables, and so on. They do exist. Software companies and so on exist as well. You know, machine making and so on and so on. But we're going to see some of that come back.
Over the years, Germany lost most of its solar production to China. Can Germany hope to ever get it back?
We still have the engineers, the R&D facilities. There's more than 50 R&D facilities for PV alone in Germany. There still is a solar value chain and environment that you can plug in. And there are the other things that make Germany attractive. It's a legal system, the world-class infrastructure and logistics that is there. So, you know, I think Germany is competitive in that way, particularly if you are looking at a more resilient value chain. I think within the entire European Union, there's been some thinking about more resilience and self-reliance when it comes to energy and its components. That said, with a 20 to 20 gigawatt market in Germany alone, you have seen how the other markets have grown. The Netherlands has added 4 gigawatts last year. Poland is the 8th largest solar market in the world now. There are other attractive markets like Spain and Italy nearby. So the demand is so high, we're going to have our own value chain and some of that, but we're also going to be open and trade, and we're going to rely and need imports.
Is solar energy now competitive in terms of price?
If you look back, you know, a decade or so, and at the prices that we are now and that we are as a technology, often now the cheapest option, cheaper than coal, that is really something that has happened because we are able to work on an industrial scale. But if you want to come to Germany, this is a great time to do that. I think the political climate is also very much in favor. There are a bunch of agencies that help in the federal states if you want to settle or if you just want to invest, you know, solar parks, PPAs. There are many things that are going on.
Well, there are many things going on in other parts of the world as well. America, for instance, with massive subsidies handed out as part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
but often is a question, if you built a factory and started now, where do you do that? And absolutely, we are competing for skilled labor, and we are also competing for industry. You know, other parts of the world have recognized this. You have named China. India has a massive production-based incentive scheme, and the US is also even subsidizing every step of the value chain. So the Europeans are following suit in that environment, and so is Germany. We think it is necessary because small and medium-sized enterprises can't raise the capital they need on the market to grow enough to be competitive, because you have to have a certain size to play in this international market. And there is support that is needed. I think we're going to see a lot of bidding towards what is offered. We're also going to see bidding from foreign competitors, because this is what Germany does. We are open for business. We don't restrict our market. And whoever is interested in investing here and using this environment is welcome to do so. And you used it locally. You began to do a lot of self-consumption. But now these systems are becoming ever more complex. In the residential sector, we are seeing that 78% of all new systems are installed with a battery or installed where a battery already exists. And that in a market, Germany, average grid downtime of about 11 minutes per year. But these batteries, they are extremely popular. 43% of all new systems, PV systems, are being installed where there's charging infrastructure or are installed with charging infrastructure. And what is new to us, because of the war with Ukraine or against Ukraine, we are seeing that 38% are installed with heat pumps. So we are really seeing a convergence of sectors. It's not just a generation. It's also how to smartly use that energy to trigger certain devices, including the washing machine, to have a demand side management. This is the example from the residential sector, but imagine if factories are doing that, and they are already, they're heating, they're cooling the electricity for their fleet, for driving or delivery vehicles. We even have companies now who have electric cooling delivery vehicles. So this is really something where we are seeing a massive move, and also because there is a massive demand. And I think we're going to see a lot more innovation in that field in the coming years as it becomes more prevalent to also have the local electricity and make the best use of it. And then that convergence I talked about, where you suddenly have a system that is very intelligent.
All this means that we need a lot of electricity. Does Germany run the risk of blackouts, or are the systems resilient enough?
The infrastructure in our cities mostly is from the 1960s. So if you have a multifamily home and people are starting to charge their electric cars, if you have one or two electric cars on your block, that's fine in the distribution grid. But if you have 16 on your block, then it becomes an issue to charge them. So you have to inject electricity locally. And the only way to do that in cities, and most Germans live in cities, is through PV. Because there's not enough gas available. I mean, the Energiewende is an engineering problem, and fortunately, we are Germans. So I'm a little confident in the ability to keep the system running and to build a resilient, renewable system. Yes, the majority of our energy is going to come from fluctuating sources, but we already have areas of our grid where at times there is 80 or 100% renewable energy, mostly from wind and solar. But there is people in the market already using renewables, both batteries, wind and solar, to provide balancing electricity. So that's also a very interesting trend that we are observing. And we need to change the system from a centrally based system to one where energy is generated everywhere. And that is already happening.
Where is the German solar industry located?
So you find us in the industrial heartland in the south, and the backbone of the German industry, and that includes the solar and storage industry, you know, mounting system cable makers included, module makers, inverter makers, you're going to find in some mid-sized cities or even in a rural environment somewhere, you know, where these small and medium-sized enterprises are located, North Rhine-Westphalia, Bavaria, Württemberg, but also in Lower Saxony, in the industrial heartland of North Rhine-Westphalia. And there is a cluster in Thuringia, for instance, in eastern Germany. We have a module factory in Wismar up at the coast at the Baltic Sea. So it's really hard to pinpoint where we are located. However, around these factories, there's normally, you know, logistics hubs and a whole environment that you can plug into.
Thanks, David. So there is a lot going on in Germany, and solar hubs are not concentrated in one place, but spreading all over the country. And they're all going to be needed if Europe's largest economy is to emerge a winner in the game of net zero. And with that, we've almost come to the end of our podcast. But before we say goodbye, we'd like to tell you a bit about how Germany works. As we've heard, Germany's first attempt to ramp up solar around the turn of the millennium fell short of expectations, and that despite, or perhaps partly because, of the subsidy policies. So what's the state of play now amidst Germany's second solar boom? There is no national law at present mandating the installation of PV units for buildings. The 16 regional states that make up the Federal Republic of Germany do have some regulations covering some newly built or newly renovated public, commercial, or even private buildings. And although not enshrined in national law, the principle that all suitable roof spaces should be used for solar energy for all new commercial buildings is part of the current government's coalition agreement. And policy is governed by the Renewable Energy Act, which sets a goal of tripling Germany's photovoltaic capacity to 216 gigawatts by 2030. So growth in the sector is as good as guaranteed. And that's how Germany works. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you for playing the game Net Zero with us. Here's the prize. If you think your company could profit from the current sunny skies over this sector, Germany Trade and Invest can help you set up shop in Europe's biggest solar market. At no cost, because we're a government agency. Get in touch at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinions, suggestions, and questions. Please leave a comment in your favourite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. So, till next month, keep on the sunny side of life. Auf Wiederhören, and remember, Germany means business.